Welcome to the podcast, Just Want to Quilt. It's a research podcast. That means we're talking about quilting. Oh, yes. Community. All the different ways we see quilting, we interact with community, with interviews and other things. And, of course, your favorite part, copyright. I'm a copyright law professor looking at quilting. This is the research podcast. I hope you enjoy it. It's more fun than you think. Copyright rocks. Today we have a field trip report from Julia Drisco. She's part of our copyright army, and she's a teen librarian in the suburbs of Chicago. Julia's going to talk to us about a field trip to a local quilt show. It was awesome, and it lasts about, I think, maybe 10, 15 minutes? I think maybe 6 minutes. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm not sure. So the show she went to was called Color My World, a collection of one-woman quilt exhibits. She just happened upon it. It was the Peaches and Patches Quilt Guild in September, September 30th and October 1st. And they have no idea that Julia went there and that we're commenting on it. So we're going to connect to them. But if you're from there, we would love to hear from you if you're part of that guild. Hey, Julia. So tell us about where you went.
Yes. So last weekend, I went to a quilt show that I found out about because a friend of my mother was in this quilt guild. And it was just this it sounded like a very simple kind of hometowny sort of show. I live in a suburban area, but it's a suburban area that is near rural areas. So it's, a lot of things. It's kind of simple in structure. And I was actually, that's what I was anticipating. What I found was actually a really well put together, thoughtful, creative event. It was the Pieces and Patches Quilt Guild, their 2017 show called Color My World. And there were about a dozen people in the guild, in the show. Each quilter in the show put at least five, six, up to maybe, I'm guessing, a dozen quilts that they had made on exhibition. And then, yeah, it was very cool to see, because you could really see kind of some evolution in each artist's work. And you also could get a sense of, their personal aesthetics and styles. And, you know, because there's things that, of course, you know, as you work on a technique, you're going to improve or evolve. And some of the folks, were just amazing, up there at that level where I would consider it fabric art. And some of the folks were, well done, but, fairly simple. It was a combination of original designs and a combination of designs that had been from other sources. And from a copyright standpoint, I will note that they did cite their sources. They all, who the quilt was, and then they said, based on a design of so-and-so.
Oh, that's interesting.
You knew which one was an original design and which one was something that they had done from a project kit. And they also wrote little notes about each one of their quilts, which I liked, because it gave you a sense of their personality, actually, in some respects, but it also gave you a little bit of context. One of the more memorable quilts was one that a lady did to remember 9/11, and she had, and I had seen several by this point, we got to her booth, several Americana-style things, but in this particular case, she did Americana-style fabric. She had some pins, or I want to say, not badges, but things relating to the fire department of New York. And then she did a very light burn on the outside edges of the quilt.
Oh, interesting.
And after that, she sealed the whole thing by stitching it into, I can't think of the official name of the stuff, but the clear plastic fabric that one might use as an outdoor fabric.
Oh, that's funny.
It really was. And she said she kept it stored in the clear fabric to protect her other quilts. But, it was clear that she had put, even though the pattern was very simple, that she was doing this from a thoughtful, artistic kind of place, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But they did make it a lot of fun to attend because they we got to vote on like what our favorite one from each quilter was, and it was nice because you didn't feel bad like I'm voting for one person over another, because everybody's getting to find out what their favorites, you know, of the six quilts I had hanging, what did people like the best, you know?
Oh, that's cool. That's nice.
I thought it was. And they had a couple of vendors at their show that were professional vendors, and they had a snack bar, you know, through, because it was in a school, so they used the school cafeteria for that. And then they also had one of the larger classrooms open where they set up a resale shop of items that people presumably in the guild were no longer interested in keeping. So small pieces of fabric, maybe craft pieces that were given to them that they didn't necessarily want to keep or what have you. And they were selling them at incredibly low prices, I think as a combination of a way to make money for the guild, but also I think to help the crafters and the quilters clean out their stashes, because as any quilter knows, the more you projects you take on, the more fabric stash you have.
That's true. So they were selling fabric, and they were selling patterns. Were they selling patterns as well?
I believe there were a few patterns. There were a lot of books and magazines in the resale shop. The professional vendors were definitely selling some patterns. But in the resale shop, they had a much larger number of patterns and books and so on, which I skimmed through, but a lot of them were really dated. I mean, like maybe 30 years dated. And so I didn't really explore those because I was more interested in getting a good deal on fabric remnants.
All right, so tell me, how did you make out? How did it go?
It was ridiculous, actually. On the one hand, I personally made out really, really well because I spent about $23. And I'm guessing that if, in fact, I had bought all of these fat quarters and so on in a store, I could have easily spent $200. I mean, easily. But I also will say that I really was blessed for where I work, because when I explained to the ladies when I was talking in line when they were bringing me up, I was that I taught sewing classes at my local library, and I was thinking that I might want to do one on making quilts, but we've never had enough fabric to really do that with. They asked me if we would be I would be interested in having them donate their leftover fabric after the show when it ended on Sunday to my library, and I said of course. And so now I have in the back of my car, because I haven't quite gotten to sorting them yet still, a 5 boxes that are about the size of what reams of paper come in. And I have 5 of those in the back of my car with fabric and craft materials that are to be donated to my library. So I'm pretty excited because we're just now starting to think about our winter programming, and over winter break this year, I'm intending to do a family quilt class with either a placemat or a table runner or something like that. So,
oh, that's so cool. That's super great. How fun.
Yeah.
That's
so really awesome. It was a neat thing, and it was something that I've seen in a lot of quilters who are just, generally speaking, incredibly generous in spirit. And, you know, you want to respect what they're doing and their artistry and all of that. But at the same time, most people I've met who sew if they don't do it as part of a living, they tend not to be super possessive about their patterns and designs and things. So that's been my personal experience, but then again, I'm not in the business side of this element. So that's a little different.
Well, I think that's super, super fun. That's such a great field trip. On the corporate side, just for our listeners, when we have listeners, we will have listeners soon. sort of what allows all that sale of fabric and books in this resale way is something called the first sale doctrine. And that's section 109 of the Copyright Act. And it says, when I buy something like a book, yeah, I'm allowed to resell it. That's the used market. And that's also where we get the weirdness with software, because software, they sort of carved out something to say that you don't buy software, you license it, because they didn't want people to be able to resell it. So,
no, what you're saying makes perfect sense. I actually, and that matches, that matches with things I've, in my limited role as a librarian, have run into.
Yep, and libraries have a special place because they've got special carve-outs that are kind of related to first sale that we can talk about sometime. But libraries are really special in terms of the Copyright Act. We have a whole bunch of stuff just for libraries to make sure you can do your job. So
I've often thought about that. I'm like, ooh, if libraries hadn't already existed before some of these laws, mm-hmm, I don't think we'd do things the way we do.
It's probably true. That's really quite astute. Well, cool. Well, this is a quick trial of what it's like to have a little field trip and talk about it. And I will put the link, if we can find the link, to the Pieces and Patches Quilt Guild.
Pieces, yeah, and then the letter N, uh-huh, was apostrophe N.
Uh-huh.
Patches.
Cool.
Quilt Guild of State, and then Steger, Illinois. They have a Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And they do also have an email address.
Cool. Awesome.
You want that one right now, or would you like me to send that to you in writing?
Yeah, you can send it to me. Just send it to me. Yeah, we don't have to put their email address up. Okay. Yeah, we can. Awesome. Well, we'll take a look on Facebook and see if we can find them. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I'm going to end the recording now.